springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. I seek the living water from the hills of God that makes me glad and happy all the way. The glory, grace, and blessing marks the path I trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to this water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then heard about Jesus, what a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me up through his saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken his flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like the poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me up through his holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In his loving favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In his love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. On his word I'm feeding, I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burdens, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. Was best for him to have his way with thee.
Well, welcome back tonight. I am glad to see all of you. Let me just mention, I checked on Isaac Schoonover just a little bit ago, or heard from Amy actually, and he has made some improvement this afternoon. Had a rough morning, but made some improvement this afternoon, and hopefully they're going to get him up and on his feet and get him home very quickly. Continue to pray for Jerry. I didn't make it up there today, but I'm going to go up after church and check on him. By the way, I know y'all won't take this the wrong way, but Jerry doesn't need a lot of visits. Talking it over with Wade, if you want to check on him, you can go up there and do so, but go in, say hi, and get out, because the longer you stay, the more he tries to talk and communicate with you. He's not getting a lot of rest as it is, and when he begins to talk, he gets labored in his breathing, and it just kind of, so keep that in mind if you're going to check on Jerry. Again, I'm not telling you don't go see him, but you might just, if he's resting, poke your head in, find out he's resting, just tell him, say, hey, tell him I come by, and of course, if he's awake, say hi, and get on out of there, and I'm going to do the same thing, okay? We want to get him well. We need to get him back here, and right now, he is just strapped for sleep and air, and so we need to give him all the help we can get cooperating with that. Larry did not make it here this morning, Larry Burnett, but they were hoping to be in church this morning. I guess he wasn't feeling well, but continue to pray for him, trying to get him into a cardiologist and find out what's going on with his issues there as well. And twins are sick, but Blake back here, twins have been got the croup, and so there's just a lot going on. But anyway, we had a great morning this morning. I was glad to see Brother Chris Fobbs, and he did a good job preaching to us, and we're glad to have Ed Mayfield join our church, and so that was exciting, and so some good things happening. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get back to the singing. Landon, will you lead us, please, sir?
I trust.
nations lose their pride when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Amen. That sounds great. Let me just remind you guys that Mother's Day is right around the corner. This time next week, we'll be honoring our mothers, and I hope that you'll take an opportunity to invite some people, I mean, whether it be your mother, your grandmother, or your daughter or granddaughter, whatever the case is, or your neighbor. Just let's make it a big day and get them into the house of God. And then one more thing I wanted to announce, our offer to you. They're out there by the big dump, being out here where, for construction, those big metal racks are rolled up over there. If you look at some of you fellows might want to use something like that, put in your garage to put storage or whatever, look at them if you can have them. $1,000 a piece, that's all it'll be. Now, if you can load them up and get them out of here, please take them. Otherwise, we'll be dumping those, okay?
All right, if you get your Bibles and go with me to John chapter number 11 tonight. John chapter number 11, I told you last week that within a week or two, I was going to start a series of messages on heaven. I decided that I would start that tonight. And the thing that we're going to look at is something that all of us are going to experience. We're going to look at death tonight. But one of the things that I'm going to try to talk to you tonight about is questions. When people die, almost everybody's got some kind of questions. And I've got it down to two questions, and we're going to look at those questions tonight. But you can't get to heaven until you die first, amen? And this is something that'll affect everybody. You're not going to get out of this life with having somebody that you love with everything that you have die. And you're not going to get out of this life alive. You're going to die. And you can avoid the subject. You can put it off. But I'm telling you, the more of the scriptures that you know and what the Bible says about death, you don't have to fear it. You can walk into it with confidence and boldness. And so that's what we're going to begin to look at. This is a very familiar story. Matter of fact, you could stand up and probably quote it, but I'm going to use this kind of as an introduction into my message tonight. Verse number one, the Bible says, "Now there was a certain man sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, And are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Mary, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I want you to skip down with me now to verse number 32. Verse number 32, the Bible says, Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. As I said earlier, all of us have an appointment. That appointment is that one day we are going to die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, the Bible says, It is appointed unto man once to die. That word appointed there means that it is reserved, it is set aside, it is destined. We try everything that we can to move that appointment, don't we? Boy, we want to do everything that we can to live as long as we can. And I want you to know that's what I want to do. I want to live as long as I can. I'd like to live to be in my 90s or my 100s. I want to be here a long time. But it doesn't matter, no matter what you do, that appointment is not going to change. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 8, There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of his death. Solomon is saying, you know what? When it comes time to that time to die, it is in the hands and it is in the control of the Lord. Of all of the billions and billions of people that have lived on the face of this earth since the creation, there is only two people that has never died, and that is Enoch and Elijah. In our world today, the whole world, 56 million people will die every single year. 4,679,000 will die this month. 153,424 people will die today. While we are meeting here in this auditorium tonight, 6,392 people will die in this world. In the next minute, 106 people will die, and 1.8 people die every second in the world. In the United States, a little over 3 million people die each year. There are different causes for that. In 2020, 702,000 people died of heart disease. 608,000 people died of cancer. 227,000 people died in an accident. 186,000 people died from COVID. 165,000 died of a stroke. 147,000 died of respiratory issues. 120,000 died of Alzheimer's. 57,000 died of nephritis or kidney disease. And 54,000 died of liver disease. If you read the obituaries like I do every day, I read the obituaries from my hometown, and sometimes I read them from Lubbock, and here's what you're going to find, that babies die every single day somewhere in this world. There are children that die every day somewhere in this country or in this world. There are teenagers that die every single day in this country. There are young adults, there are middle-aged people, there are older people. Everybody dies at some point of their life. And so when I give you all of those numbers, it's easy for us to just become cold and callous to those numbers. But it's important for us to realize that everyone that dies is somebody's parent. Everyone that dies is somebody's child. Many of those that die are somebody's husbands or somebody's wife. For every person that dies, they are really important to them. And when we lose someone that we love, we have questions, don't we? I think two of the questions that we have, and you might word it differently, it can be worded differently, but I think that when everybody dies, here are two questions that I think almost everybody asks. Number one, why didn't God do something? Why didn't God do something? The second question that I think that we ask is, where was God during this time? Why didn't God do something, and where was God during this time? I hadn't been pastor for very long in Coleman. One Sunday night, I got home, and if you know, Sundays are very long days, was always long days for me and still are. It was about 8 o'clock at night or 8:30 at night. I had changed my clothes and I got in my chair and I was kind of eating a little bit of supper that night and just kind of relaxing, time to wind down from the end of the day, and my phone rang. It was my dear, dear friend, James Oldshill, who was one of the highway patrols in Coleman County. He would later come and be a member of our church, and he became one of my dear friends. But at that point, he wasn't a member of our church. He was just a highway patrol, and I knew when he's calling me on Sunday night that it can't be good news. I answered the phone, and he said, "Hey, Brother David, do you know Kimberly Fletcher?" I said, "Well, yes, Kimberly Fletcher. She rides our van. She comes to our Awana program on Wednesday night. She comes to our Sunday school on Sunday morning. She's a young girl that's just 13 years of age. She's the only one in her family that comes to church, and she's excited about serving the Lord. She's excited about living for the Lord. But on this Sunday night, instead of coming to church, she had gone out into the country, and there was a party out in the country of some of her family and other people, and she got into the back of a pickup, and they began to ride around those country roads." James O'Shield would go on to say, "You know what, they wasn't going real fast up and down those roads. They were just kind of out driving around. And as they were going down this road, there was a skunk or something that crossed the road. And when this skunk crossed the road, the driver of that vehicle swerved. And when he swerved, it threw Kimberly Fletcher out the back. I could tell you what it did to her, but you wouldn't want to hear those gruesome details. She'd lived long enough for them to come and get her on the country road and take her to the hospital. And she was in the emergency room there in Coleman, and James Oldshields was there. And he said, "You know, would you come and just sit down and be there for those families?" Can I tell you, they don't teach you how to do that in Bible college. It was one of the first experiences that I had in my ministry. And I'll just be honest with you. When I drove that whole time, I prayed, "God, give me the words." And I was scared to death. I didn't know what to say. What do you say to a family that has just tragically lost a 13-year-old girl? Can I tell you, as I sat with that family, here's what I heard. Where was God in all of this? She's been serving the Lord. She's been in church. Where is God? Why didn't God do something? Why didn't God save our baby girl? Almost all of us in here tonight remember Tracy Davis, don't we? Her and I was about the same age, and we kind of had the same mentality. I would ride her and cut up with her, and she'd just give it back to you. And we just went back and forth. You know, she got in our church and she drove. She lived on the other side of Lubbock after almost to shallow water, and she began driving to church. And we know that she spent all year getting ready to decorate for VBS. I mean, from the time it was over until the time it started, she started collecting cardboard and everything else. And then she looked forward every year to decorating for VBS. And you know that when she decorated, I mean, she decorated the foyer and the fellowship hall. I mean, she went all out. She loved to serve the Lord in that area. She started coming and singing in the choir. It was always funny. She'd walk in, she'd go la 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 la. I don't know if she could sing or not. Probably she couldn't sing, but you know what, man, she started coming and singing the choir, and she started getting faithful to the church. And boy, I thought, man, if God's doing something in her life. You know, she had a struggle. Her and Larry couldn't have children. Man, they tried all kinds of things, spent thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars trying to have a child. And then God finally gave them that beautiful little daughter that was sitting on the front row just a couple of weeks ago, Emma. And I'll never forget, she started having some health problems. I knew she was going to the doctor, and I knew she had some tests and those type of things. And I'll never forget, on a Thursday, she walked in here and she walked into my office. We kind of got past the pleasantries. She said, "David, they tell me I've got cancer." I said what most preachers say: God's going to heal you. And I threw this out there: if God doesn't heal you here, he'll heal you there. But you know what? I never dreamed that he wouldn't heal her here. I always thought God would heal her now. Here's somebody that's getting into church and she's serving the Lord. She's got a desire to serve the Lord. God gave her a little bitty baby girl to take care of, and she was such a wonderful parent. She was such a good parent, and she tried for so long to have a child, and God finally gives her a child, and you're going to tell me that God now is going to take her? I don't know if anybody else those asked questions, but I asked those questions. God, why? God, you got to do something. God, where are you at? I'll never forget on a Wednesday night, Sonny would sit up there next to old Linda over there. And he'd just sit there while we practiced and while we talked and everything. And a lot of nights, it's 9 o'clock before we leave here, 8:45. He'd just sit there, and when Linda would tell him to get up, and he'd start walking out, and just about where Ed is. I said, hey, Sonny, I'll see you Sunday. I can see him now. He turned around and said, okay, see you Sunday. But you know what? When Sunday came, there was a helicopter that landed out in this auditorium, or not in the auditorium, but in the parking lot. Sonny had a heart attack. They loaded him up in that helicopter, but he was already flying into heaven, amen. And I'm sure that Linda asked, God, where are you at? Why is this happening? And you know what? I could go on, and Brother Chris could stand in this pulpit tonight, and he could share story after story after story. I could share more of those stories. But I'm telling you, I would be willing to bet you that all of us at some point or some time in our life has lost someone that we loved, and we've said, God, why? God, where are you at? God, why don't you do something? You read this text. Lazarus is living with Mary and Martha, his sisters. And the Bible says that Lazarus gets sick. He's only 30 years of age at this point. He's relatively a young man. He's got a long time to live, but he's sick. And Martha and Mary, they know, hey, if Jesus can just get here, then we know that he can heal him. You see, Jesus was close to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He had lived in their home. He had ate with them. He had visited with them. He had talked with them. He was close to them. This Lazarus wasn't just somebody that he didn't know. It was somebody that he walked with and he was close with, and he's sick. And so Mary and Martha, they send word to Jesus. Hey, our friend, our brother Lazarus is sick. You need to come so you can do something. And then the text says that Jesus does nothing. He just stays put. And when you read the story, it's even almost more mind-boggling because he's only 2 miles away. 15 furlongs, that's what it means. It's 2 miles. It's only like a 45-minute walk to where he is. He tells his disciples, I'm going to go and wake Lazarus out of sleep. And they think he's sleeping. And ultimately, Jesus says, no, Lazarus has died. And after 4 days, he's already been in the grave, and Jesus goes to where Mary and Martha are. And when he gets there, Martha comes running out first. And she says, Lord, if you would have been here, our brother had not died. You know what that is in the Greek? Where were you? Why didn't you do something? You go down to verse number 32. In verse number 32, Mary had stayed put, but now she comes out to Jesus. And when she comes out to Jesus, she says, hey, Lord, if you would have been here, our brother, he would not have died. You know what that is in the Greek? Where were you at? Why didn't you do something? And one of the shortest, or the shortest verse in all the Bible, but I think has one of the most profound meanings, is verse number 35. And you know it. What does it say? Jesus wept. Why did he weep? He knew that Lazarus was fixing to rise again. But you know why? He saw the hurt, and he saw the sorrow and the brokenness that was in Mary and Martha. You see, when our heart breaks, he loves us so much that his heart breaks. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is found in Peter, and it says this, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Have you ever asked those questions? Let's take the first one first, and I know that I've got to hurry. The first one is this. Why didn't you do something? Now, one of the things that we've got to understand about God is that he's got attributes or perfections. Some people call them attributes, other people call them perfections. It means that he is perfectly kind. He's perfectly full of love. He's perfectly gracious. He's perfectly merciful. He's perfectly long-suffering. And there's a long list that we could go to. But if you understand all of those perfections, what you come to the conclusion is because God is perfect in all those things, he will only do what is best for you and only do what is best for me. You believe that tonight, don't you? That God would only do what's best for you? Two other attributes that we need to talk about. Number one is that God is omniscient, meaning that he knows everything. Other thing is that God is omnipotent, meaning that he is all-powerful. So God knows everything and that God can do anything. Well, how does that affect me? It affects me this way. When somebody dies, number one, I've got to realize that it doesn't catch God by surprise. Do you realize that God already knows the day that I'm going to die? He already knows all of the circumstances. He already knows everything that is going to surround them. Hey, you're not going to have to call God up and say, hey, David died today. Did you hear? God already knows. I want you to go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, please. This is a passage that all of us are familiar with. Solomon is writing about different times in our life. Verse number 1, he says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now notice this, verse number 2, there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And he goes down through all the way through verse number 11 and he talks about a start for things and a finish for things. But verse number 2, there is a time to die and then there is a time to be born. I want you to go to Job chapter number 14. If you can't turn to these fast enough, you ought to write these down. Job chapter number 14 is the book right before the Psalms. But Job chapter number 14. And verse number 5. Job says this, seeing his days are, what's that word? Determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Go with me back to chapter number 7 of Job, just a few pages back. Job chapter number 7 and verse number 1. The Bible says, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Now, there are the verses that I could take you to tonight. But what are these verses teaching us? These verses are teaching us that you and I have a certain time here upon this earth. There is a time that we start life. There is a time that we end life. And we cannot cross those bounds. God knows exactly the day that we are going to be born, and God knows exactly the day that we are going to die. God doesn't have to read the obituaries and find out who has passed on from this life. He already knows. That ought to give, that, I don't know about you, but that gives me comfort. God's not going to be shocked. He's moving me in that direction, and he already knows the day that I'm going to pass away. And the second thing is that it lets me know that death has been planned by God. My death has been planned by God. God already knows it. Several years ago, John Hagee was in his church in San Antonio. There was a man that walked in the back. It was back in the early 70s when this happened. I listened to the tape of it. He walked in the back of the auditorium. He walked straight up to the platform, opened, pulled out a gun, and shot at John Hagee 6 times at point blank range and never hit him once. How did that happen? It happened because it wasn't John Hagee's day to die. God had a plan for him. God already had determined the day that he was going to die. And let me tell you, that man could have stuck it right in his face and he wouldn't have hit him that day. Why? Because God's in control. Well, I was thinking about this. I began to think about King David. Remember, God sent Samuel to anoint David to be the next king. It was before he fought Goliath, and it was before that he ran from Saul. But he said, hey, this is the next king. I want you to arise, and I want you to anoint him. This is my plan. This is my purpose for David. Do you think there's any chance that Goliath could have killed him that day? There wasn't a chance. You know why? Because God had already said, hey, I've got something for him. I've got a plan. He is going to be the next king. When Saul started chasing David and trying to kill David, we know that David ran from Saul for a number of years. Do you think that there was any chance that Saul could have killed him? There wasn't. Why? Because God already knew the day. And God already knew that, hey, I'm going to use him to be the next king of Israel. God's moving your life in a certain direction. When you read about Moses in Psalms 90 in verse number 9 through 10, you don't have to turn there, but here's what Moses said. We spend our years as the tale that is told. Moses is saying, you know what? Our life is already scripted. Our life is already given to us by God. He would go on in that verse, and I find this interesting. You ought to look at it when you get home, but Moses would say 4,000 years ago, that our days are 70, meaning 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet their strength labor in sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Do you know what the life expectancy of someone in the United States today is? 77.5 years of age. All of the advances that we have made in our society, Moses 4,000 years ago said, man's going to live 70 years, and if God blesses him extra, he may live to be 80 years. I don't want to give you confidence in the scripture. I was reading a book when I was preparing this message, a book written by Robert Jeffers, who's the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, and he's writing a book on heaven. He was pastor for a number of years at the First Baptist Church in Wichita Falls, and he tells this story. He said, I had a deacon in my church that was a businessman. And he said, periodically, I would go by his office and I would visit with him. And every time I would go by, he had this big old whiteboard, and he had all of these marks on this whiteboard. He said, I didn't ask anything for several times, but he said, you know, the curiosity got the cat. And he said, I was by there one day, and I saw this, and it looked like that there was less marks than the last time. And so I just asked him, what are all of these marks on this whiteboard? And that man said, you know what? God has promised me 70 years. This is, each mark represents a day I have until my 70th birthday. He said, I just want to be aware how much time I have. Will he live past 70? Robert Jeffers went back and all of those marks was over and there was only a few marks on the board. And he said, why are you putting marks up? Because I just want to be reminded of how God has blessed me with extra days. God's already got it planned. Where is God? Where is God? I want you to go with me to Psalms 23. You know this. But man, here is a great passage when you think about it in this context. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Did you catch it? It's the middle of the verse. It ought to just jump out at you. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If you're there, read these next words. For thou art with me. Death can be a fearful thing, can't it? But you know what? Jesus has already walked that road. He's already walked down that road. He knows the road well. And in this text, the psalmist David is saying, hey, when we go through that death period, that we don't go alone, that Jesus is with me. In Luke chapter number 16, oh, you need to see this. I could quote this passage left and forward, but I've never seen it this way. This is the story of the rich man and the beggar. Verse number 19. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and get this, highlight this, underline this, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Where was God? He was right there. I'll be with you. And in this case, the Bible says the angels came and carried in them into Abraham's bosom. He was right there. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What is Peter saying there? Make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you got your name written down in the heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make sure that you're ready for heaven. He says, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. But here's the verse that you want to get to. For our entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means that when we get to heaven, we're going to make a grand entrance. Have you ever known somebody that when they walk into the room, they always make a grand entrance? They make a big show. That's what Peter is saying. Hey, that for those that know the Lord, for those that are saved, when they get to heaven, they're going to get into heaven and there's going to be a grand entrance. Matter of fact, if you trace the root word all the way down, the root of that word means that there's going to be dancing and joy. Baptists get nervous when you talk about dancing, amen? But you know what? David danced before the Lord. And when you and I that are saved, when we get to heaven, there's going to be joy, there's going to be dancing, there's going to be shouting, there's going to be hugging. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be a wonderful time when you and I get to heaven. D.L. Moody, the D.L. Moody we know, not the old D.L. Moody, but the D.L. Moody that was a president of Arlington University for a number of years. He tells the story about his mother. He said she got sick and she was up in her 80s, I believe she was, her age was. And as many of you have saw it, she just began to get weaker and weaker, and then she began to get bedridden. Then she couldn't stay by herself, and then she was at a point where hospice had to come in, and the brothers and sisters took time going and staying with her and visiting with her. And D.L. Moody said this, the morning that she died, right before she died, she had been kind of unconscious and not responsive, but she sat up in her bed and she looked up to the sky and she said, Lord. She dropped her head, laid back, and she died. You say, where was God? He was right there. She wasn't all alone. He was right there. When I was a young man growing up in the church, I can remember hearing stories of dear saints of God that had served the Lord all of their life, talking about seeing Jesus and talking about seeing angels. And I believe, you know what they did? I believe it was God right there. Where was He? He was right there. I stood before that crowd and preached that funeral of that 13-year-old girl. And all I could say was this. When she went into eternity, she didn't go out by herself. God was right there. I wished I could explain to you. I wish I could tell you why. I can't. But you know what? I trust God. Why didn't God do something? God did what was best for her. I don't know why. But I know it was best for Kimberly Fletcher. You hear me talk about my mom all the time. I loved her. She loved me with everything that she loved me unconditionally. She loved me with everything that she had. Monday, I drove to San Angelo. I left on a Saturday night, and I told her, I said, Mom, I'm coming, and I'm done with this. I said, Mom, I'm coming back Monday, and we're carrying you to Coleman. We're going to put you on hospice, and It wasn't going to be long before she was going to live, but she was going to live another 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month. I don't know. She wasn't at the very point of death. But CJ and I, we loaded up and we drove to San Angelo and we brought my mom and dad both back to Coleman and we put them in the nursing home and put my mom on hospice. About 6 o'clock that evening, CJ and I loaded up and we headed home. I told Mom, I'll be back in a few days. I'll see you. And I fully expected that I would be back to see her. The next morning at 9 o'clock, my phone rang. It was my sister. My mother went to be with the Lord. I'd given anything to be there. I wished I was there. But you know what? Somebody better than me was there. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. And you know what? One of these days, you're going to lose somebody you love. And if you'll just understand, they're not there by themselves. The Lord came. Where was God? He was right there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. Next week, we're going to look at what it's like when we get into heaven. Lord, we love you today. We're grateful for each one that is here. And God, I know that a message like this may be off-putting to some, but I know it's a great comfort to many that are here. And what a comfort it was to me just putting these things together and just being reminded tonight of these wonderful truths. And God, tonight I pray, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you'd help them to realize that one of these days they're going to step out into eternity. And God, they're going to meet you. And dependent upon what they've done with you, have accepted you or rejected you, is going to determine where they spend an eternity in heaven or separated from you at a place called hell. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? With heads bowed and eyes closed, Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of Scripture. If God's spoken to you, you come. Thank you.